One of the old hymn writers wrote these words, "Come, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness Christ requireth is to feel your need of him. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. True belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh, without money, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and buy. I'll go to Jesus. Though my sin hath like a mountain raised, and I'll say to him, I'm a wretch undone without your sovereign grace. I can but perish if I go, but I am resolved to try, for if I stay away from Christ, I must forever die. I'll to the gracious King approach, whose scepter mercy gives. Perhaps he'll receive my touch, and then the sinner lives. But if I die with mercy sought, when I the King have tried, that were to die, what a thought, as a sinner had never died." Charlotte Elliott put it this way, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, and blind, but sight, riches, and healing of the mind, and all indeed, in thee I'll find. Lamb of God, I come." Well, coming to Christ is a very common term in the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus one day lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you've revealed them to babes. You've revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." And again, on that great day of the feast, the last day of the feast, our Lord stood on the porch of the temple. And as he watched the people departing from the ceremonies and departing from all of the traditions and going back home, he said, "Hey, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Let him come to me. And out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, which all that believe on him should receive." And John, before he closed the book of Revelation, he said, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Holy Spirit and the bride of Christ say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Coming to Christ. What is it to come to Christ? Well, it's the same as believing on Christ. Coming to Christ is to believe on Christ. The word says they'll never call on him in whom they have not believed. They'll never come to him in whom they've not believed. Coming to Christ is to believe on him. Coming to Christ is to receive him. Coming to Christ is to trust him. You never trust Christ till you come to him. You never come to him till you trust him. And if you come to him, you'll come because you do trust him. Coming to Christ is to leave our idols, like Paul said of the Thessalonians. He said, you have left your idols and come to serve the living God. Coming to Christ is to turn away from my works, to turn away from my works of righteousness to his perfect righteousness. Because it's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Coming to Christ is to turn away from my religious tradition. The Apostle Paul said, I count it all but dung. I was born a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. Concerning the law, I was blameless. I served God after the tradition of my fathers. But he said, I count these things but loss. I turn away from them. I lay them down. Yea, I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. Coming to Christ is turning away from my ceremonies. Ceremonies can't save. All the blood on Jewish altars down through the centuries cannot put away one sin or one stain. It's coming to his perfect sacrifice by which he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Coming to Christ is turning away from my feelings and my emotions to the unchanging covenant so that I can lie down with David, that sweet psalmist of Israel, the son of Jesse, the man after God's own heart, and be able to say, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is my salvation and all my desire. Coming to Christ is to turn away from all these things and to turn to him alone. Because coming to Christ is to come to Christ personally. Personally. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's where we make a mistake. Coming to Christ is not coming to the church. I believe folks who have come to Christ will come to church. But coming to Christ is not coming to church. Many have come to church who've never come to Christ. And some have come to Christ who never had the opportunity to go to church. The thief on the cross was one. Christ said, come to me and I'll give you rest. If any man thirst, let him come to me. Let him come to me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's it, Bob. Me. Don't miss him. It's not coming to the things of Christ. It's coming to Christ. It's not even coming to the law of Christ. It's coming to Christ. It's not coming to the preacher. How many have shaken the preacher's hand who have never seen Christ the Lord? What a sad, sad experience to come to the front of a church and make a loud boast or profession of what I have when I don't have anything. Because coming to Christ is not to come to the altar. It's to come to him who is the altar. We have an altar. Coming to Christ is not coming to the ordinances, not coming to baptism or even to the sacraments or the Lord's table or communion. Coming to Christ is to come to Christ. Coming to Christ is not coming to the doctrines of grace. It's coming to Christ. You can learn all the doctrines and never know him who gave them. You can know the teachings and not know the teacher. But if you know the teacher, you know the teachings. Let me show you a verse that may help you in Psalm 130. Psalm 130, listen to this. I'm going to read most of this psalm. But it says here in Psalm 130, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Coming to Christ is coming to him. To cry unto him, to look unto him, to lay hold upon him. Out of the depths have I cried, Psalm 130, unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. I'm not waiting for the preacher to come to see me. I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm not waiting for someone to pat me on the head and say, you got it now. I'm waiting for the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Oh, how long the night gets when you're sick, can't sleep, pain racking your body, and you just wait for the morning. Oh, I wish the sun had come up. Some of you experienced that, I know. I wish the morning would come. He said, I wait for the Lord more than they that wait for the morning. More than they that wait for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy. You see what he's saying? He didn't say, let Israel hope for mercy. He says, let Israel hope in the Lord. That's where mercy is. It's in a person. Don't seek mercy, seek the Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord. With the Lord there's mercy. Let Israel hope in the Lord. With the Lord there's plenteous redemption. If you can lay hold on him, you've got mercy. If you can lay hold on him, you've got redemption. He didn't say, let Israel hope for redemption. I'm not seeking redemption. I'm seeking the Redeemer. I'm not seeking mercy. I'm seeking him. Oh, somebody says, if I just had assurance. I don't want assurance. I want Christ. It didn't matter whether those folks down in Israel were in the house walking the floor or lying down or sitting in a chair. God said, I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Let Israel hope in the Lord. With the Lord there's mercy. With the Lord there's plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. He said, I'm a just God and a Savior. You look to me and be you saved. Look to me and be you saved. In the Lord I have righteousness. In the Lord shall we be justified. What is it to come to Christ? It's to come to Christ. Not to a substitute, to him who is our substitute. What is it to come to Christ? It's to come to him as he is. Don't make a mistake now. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, they come preaching another Jesus. He says, if you believe another gospel, or if you hear another gospel preached, don't you have any patience with that. He said, though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Coming to Christ is to come to him as he is. Our Lord said to the man who was blind, he said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he that I might believe? I wish somebody would grab me the bottle of lapel sometimes and say, who is he? Tell me who he is. I know there's redemption. Who is he? I know there's mercy. Where is it? I know there's grace for the guilty. Where is it? I'll tell you. It's in him who is Lord. It's in him who is Lord. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's not only Lord and God, he's the Christ. He is the Christ. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. And that believing you might have life through his name, he's that prophet. Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me from among the brethren. Listen to him. When our Lord stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said, this is my Son. Hear him. He's prophet. He's that priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's that king. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's our righteousness. He's our sin offering. He's our risen justifier. He's the only mediator between God and men. There's one God, only one God, and one mediator between that God and men, and that's the man. Paul Pilate said, there he is, the man. Behold the man. Have you ever beheld the man? The man Christ Jesus. His is a name which is above every name. A name above every name, that name of which the Father declared, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven, earth, and hell that he's Lord. His name is his attributes. His name is his power and person. His name is his glory. Find out who he is and come to him. Don't come to the front, come to Christ. Don't come to a religious Messiah, come to Christ. Don't come to a fellow who sounds logical, come to Christ. Find out who he is. Who is he? That I might believe. I don't want to miss Christ. And I'll tell you the best place to miss him is in religion. Because there will be many Christ arise, false Christ shall arise, antichrist shall arise, many Christ shall arise. And they'll say, here is Christ, lo, there is Christ, yea, here is Christ. He said, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. He said, they'll come doing signs and wonders, and they'll deceive, if it were possible, God's elect. But don't listen to them. Find out who he is, and you'll find out who he is in the Word. He's revealed in his word. It's to come to Christ. It's to come to Christ as he is. As he is. Not as you think he is. Not as you think he ought to be. Not as the preacher says he is. He's Christ as he says he is. Even if it makes you mad. I don't believe in that kind of God. I know by nature no man does. But he's still God. He's still God. I just won't have a sovereign God. If you have a God, you'll have a sovereign God. I just won't have a discriminating Christ. If you have a Christ, you will. Because he took not on himself the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. Yes, he did. And he said, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Find out who he is, Herman. Find out who he is. Who is he? And come to him as he is, no matter whether you agree with it or not. Just come to him and bow down and say, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. The thief had more sense than we have with all our theology. He just looked over and said, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Think on me. Think on me. And I'm coming to Christ wherever he is. I'm coming to Christ as he's revealed in his word. And what is it to come to Christ? It's to keep on coming to Christ. It's to keep on. Repentance is not an isolated act. The man who says, I once repented, never repented. I have repented. I am repenting. By God's grace, I will repent. Faith is not an isolated act. Faith is not a one-time experience. Faith is not a decision alone. Faith is a state of being. Faith is a new nature. Faith looks to Christ, clings to Christ, comes to Christ, and is obsessed with Christ from now on. I have been saved, for by grace have you been saved, but I am being saved. By God's grace I'm being saved, and now is my salvation nearer than when I first believed. I'm coming to Christ. Real faith never ceases to look to Christ, never ceases to come to Christ, never ceases to call on Christ, never ceases to rest in Christ. Faith never finds any place to put its foot except on the Rock of Ages. Faith finds no place to build a living temple except on the chief cornerstone. No place is ever any good or to be trusted but Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 through 5. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. He said, wherefore, laying aside malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming? To whom coming? That's present tense. I'm not an English professor by any stretch of the imagination, but I just know that means he's keeping on coming. When our Lord said, ask and it shall be given, he says, you keep on asking. Keep on asking. When he says, knock and it shall be open, he doesn't mean to knock and then to go about your business. He said, knock till the door is open. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Coming to Christ, it is to come to Christ continually. It's to never quit coming to Christ. Oh, we have a hope. We have a sure hope. We have a certain hope. Our hope is as sure as the throne of God. But I'll tell you, we keep on coming. Keep on coming. And then to come to Christ is to come to Him to find all I need. All I need. There's no buts, there's no ands, there's no ifs about it. Christ of God is made unto me wisdom. All the wisdom I need is in Christ. Christ is made unto me righteousness, all the righteousness I need. Christ is made unto me sanctification, all that I need. Christ is made unto me redemption, all I need. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and power. I find in Him all that God requires, all that the law demands, all that justice requires, all that heaven demands. He has made me sufficient in Him right now to inherit the saints, all that the saints have in glory. Sufficient. It's all in Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. And you are complete. Oh, my soul, we think if anybody here is not complete, it's me. I know that in your nature, in yourself, in your flesh, in your needs, in your desires, in your happiness. But I tell you, in God's sight, you're complete. And that's all that counts. In His sight, I'm complete. I'm complete in Christ. Complete. All right, here's the second question. Why do men not come to Christ? Turn to John chapter 5, verse 40. All these things are true. All these things are true. When you think of the grace to be found in Christ, when you think of the treasures, of the riches, of the blessings, of the mercies, of the life to be found in Christ, which is so evident to those who've come, so evident to those who found those riches, so evident to those who found that bread from heaven to be such bread that you never hunger again, that water of life to be such that you never thirst again. You say, well, why don't others come? Why don't others come? Our Lord said in John 5:40, you will not come. You will not come that you might have life. You will not. You will not. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Listen to this. I hear preachers say this. Matthew 19, listen to this. I hear preachers say, well, coming to Christ is the easiest thing you've ever done. Coming to Christ is the most simple thing in the world. And yet my Lord said in my text, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw. No man can. No man can come to me. And here in Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, listen. And Christ said, again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man into the kingdom of God. And don't you get to thinking here just about those that are filthy rich. We're rich men too. Yes, sir. We have more than kings used to have. We're laden and loaded. I wish we was heavy laden. Read on. When His disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed. And they said, well, who can be saved? Who can be saved? Who can come to Christ? And our Lord looked at him and said, with men it's impossible. With men it's impossible. with me and it's impossible. Well, let me tell you this. Why? Why? Will you listen for a moment? It's not a physical disability that keeps me from coming to Christ. It's not a physical disability at all. I can walk to the house of God as well as I can walk to a bar without any more effort. I can walk to a bar or I can walk to the house of God. Got no physical disabilities in that sense of the word. I can come to the house of God as well as anybody else can. Any man can. I can walk down an aisle as well as I can walk down the stairs. No physical disability. Get up and come down this aisle. That's what the preacher said. Get up and come down this aisle. Well, here I come. Ain't no problem. No problem. Man's not hindered physically from coming to Christ. I can kneel at an altar as well as I can kneel for an idol. Ain't no problem to kneel. Any man can kneel. I can be baptized as easily as I can take a shower. So it's not physical disability that keeps me from coming to Christ. Not it at all. It's not mental inability that keeps me from coming to Christ. No, it's not. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. It's not mental inability that keeps them from coming. I can study the Bible as well as I can study Mark Twain. I can read the Bible. Any man in Ashland can read the Bible as well as he can read William Shakespeare or well as he can read a book of poetry. Pick up the Bible and read it. Nothing to it. And he can find out words. He can read words like, no man can come to me except my Father who had sent me to draw him. He can read that just like you can read it, Bob, just like I can, anybody else. I can say prayers as well as I can curse. I can say, blessed Lord Jesus, or I can say, Jesus Christ. See? So there's no mental inability. I can believe Jesus Christ died on the cross as well as I can believe Columbus discovered America. And people mentally all over this world give assent to the fact the devil believes Jesus Christ died on the cross. There's no problem with mental acceptance of facts. So it's not physical inability that keeps a man from coming to Christ. It's not mental inability that keeps a man from coming to Christ. Man's inability to come to Christ savingly is not either in his body or his mind, but in his will. That's where it is. In nature. Nature. He will not come to Christ. He doesn't say he can't come to Christ. He says he will not come to Christ. He doesn't say he can't call on the Lord. It says he won't call on the Lord. You will not. Through the fall of Adam and because of our fallen natures and our corrupted wills, we have become so depraved and so debased and so corrupt that we love and enjoy everything that's contrary to God. That's what we love. This is condemnation. Light is coming to this world, but men love darkness. Darkness. That's what men love, darkness. They love darkness rather than light. The light came. They love darkness. They don't love light. They don't love light. Listen to John 5. Listen to our Lord tell about our condition by nature. This, what a solemn charge. And I'm telling you the truth. I know it's offensive to natural minds because the natural mind is enmity against God. Men think, but they don't think on God. Yes, sir, they do. Men love, but they love themselves. They don't love God. And our Lord said in John 5:40, listen, you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. I know you have not the love of God in you. You will not come to me, and you have not the love of God in you. He said, I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, we're so twisted and perverted and warped, him you will receive. How can you believe? Which receive honor one of another, and you seek not. You will not come to me. You have not the love of God in you. You receive me not, and you seek not the honor that comes from God only. Oh, don't think that I'll accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses. That is the writings, the word in which you trust. You search the scriptures, he said, in them you think you have life. There they which testify of me. I'm not going to condemn you. The very words in which you trust are going to condemn you. But he says, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You see that sheep? There's a sheep. There's a sheep. And you can walk over and pet that sheep. And that sheep will let the shepherd pet him. The shepherd can walk right over to the sheep, call him by name, and the sheep will stand still, and the shepherd will pet the sheep on the head, run his hand down the back of the sheep. And that sheep will eat grass. He won't eat meat, he eats grass. And that shepherd, if he wanders off down the lane there, and the shepherd says, "Quinner, come here." And that sheep will come right to him. Well, there's a wolf. Now, he could be petted, but he won't. He won't let you pet him. Now, he could be petted. There's nothing physically to keep me from petting that wolf. Huh? But he won't let me pet him. And that wolf could eat grass, but he won't. It is not his nature. And that wolf hears the shepherd call, "Hey, wolf!" Well, he won't come. He won't come, Charlie. His nature is not to come. He grits his teeth, and he growls, and he heads the other way. And I'm telling you, man's inability is not in his body. His inability is not in his mind. His inability and his refusal to hear the word, to hear the voice of the shepherd who says, "Come unto me. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." He growls. What does a sheep do? My sheep hear my voice, and they come. They come. It's not man's mental inability. It's his nature. His inability, it is in his nature, and he must be born again. He must receive a new nature. Someone says, "But men can certainly be saved if they will." Would you repeat that? Men can certainly be saved if they will. Well, that's not the question at all. Of course they can. Of course they can. That wolf can eat grass if he will, but he won't. And that wolf could come if he will, but he won't. And that wolf could be petted and tamed if he would, John, but he won't. And something got to be done to his will. Something got to be done to his won't to change it to "I will." And that's my trouble and your trouble. The word is the same. God is the same. The problem is not with God, it's with me. The problem's in my will. It's in my nature. I will not bow to Christ. Any man can be saved if he will. But who will? You want me to tell you who will? Turn to Psalm 110. I'll tell you who will. In Psalm 110, it says here in Psalm 110, verse 3. Listen to it. It says in Psalm 110, verse 3, "Thy people shall be willing." Thy people shall be willing. Willing to bow down. Willing to submit. Willing to believe. Willing to confess, willing to be conformed, willing. Thy people shall be willing. When? In the day of thy power. Convicting power, converting power, regenerating power, quickening power, awakening power, Pentecostal power. When God comes down in the power of his Spirit, when God Almighty is pleased to speak through His Word. Oh, we read the Bible, quote the Bible, argue the Bible, but once in a while, somebody hears the Word in the power of the Holy Ghost. Once in a while. We see the Scriptures written on signboards. We hear it over radio, television. We hear people memorize it and quote it. One fellow calls himself the Walking Bible. Oh, but God said, "My word will not return unto me void." And that word which is spoken, if it can be spoken in the power and unction of the Holy Spirit, and men hear not just with these ears, but the ears of the heart, and they hear not with these mental concepts, but they hear with a spiritual understanding. They hear with an enlightened, illuminated heart, and they hear with power and with the Holy Ghost. And they'll come. In the day of thy power, they'll come. They'll come. They'll come in the beauty of holiness, just like they're born from the womb of the morning. They'll come. Yeah, they will. Because he says over here in Philippians chapter 2, listen to this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, because he says in Philippians 2, 13, listen, for it is God which worketh in you. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you have the will to do His pleasure? It's God that worked it in you. Do you have the will? Do you have the ability? Can you come to Christ? He made you willing. Will you come to Christ? He gave you the strength. How does God teach men? By His Spirit, through His Word. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. Oh, my friend, do you see? You say, "Yes, I see." Then give God the glory. Do you hear? "Yes, I hear." Then praise His name forever. Will you come? "Yes, yes, I'll come. Yes, I'll come. I'll come to Christ." Then praise the Lord. He gave you the ability. "No, I will not come. I will not come." Yonder amazing sight I see. The incarnate Son of God, dying on a cursed tree, shedding His own precious blood. Behold that purple torrent run down from His hands and His head. That crimson sun, that crimson flood blots out the sun, and His groans awake the dead. The trembling earth, the darkened sky proclaim the truth aloud, and with the amazed centurion I say, "This is the Son of God." You see that? So great, so vast a sacrifice, may well my hope revive. If God's own Son bleeds and dies, then this sinner need never die. Oh, that those cords of love divine would draw me, Lord, to Thee. And let me say, "Thou hast my heart, it shall be thine, thine forever my heart shall be. I'm coming." There's nowhere else to go. There's no one else to whom we can turn except to Christ. But I'll tell you, He's a perfect Savior. He's a gracious Savior. He's a kind Savior. He's a loving Savior. He's a willing Savior. He's an able Savior. Because of who He is and what He did and where He is now. I cast my lot with Christ. I say it over again after 34 years. I say it over again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I renew my vows, lay my heart again at the feet of Christ. I come to thee. I found in him all I need. Let's sing number 340. 340.